Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of February, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll catch up with the Knox County Hippology team. We'll hear from Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois, about the 2015 balance sheet, soybeans, and acreage. And we'll discuss the weather forecast today, too, that with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'll ask you to visit our website at willag.org and offer you the chance to buy your tickets right now at 217-333-7300 for our all-day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the 10th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. March corn at $3.89.5, up 2.25. The May at $3.97.75, 2.5 higher. And July at $4.05.5, up 2.75. September contract at $4.12.25, up 3 cents. December at $4.20.5, up 3. And next year's March corn at $4.29.5, up 3.5. Soy complex bean futures down. This is where the big gains happened for the day. $10.73 in the March. A settlement price up 17.25. May futures at $10.11.75, up 17. July, $10.16.75, 16.75 higher. And the August contract at $10.16, up 16.75 as well. November beans at $9.86.25, up 15.25. January up 15.25 at $9.91. Bean meal for the day finished $10 higher at $342.30. And the bean oil at $32.32. Down 8 cents for the afternoon. Chicago wheat at $5.34.75, a penny and 3/4 higher. May at $5.31.75, up 2.5 cents. July at $5.35, up 2.75. Kansas City soft red at $5.62.25, down a half. May down 1 at $5.62.75, and July at $5.68.25, down 2 cents for the day. In the feeder cattle pit, $201.75 was the final trade for the March contract, $2.10 lower. The April at $200.80, down $2.45. Live cattle futures finished at $158.62.5, down $1.37.5, and lean hogs at $64.20 were down $1.82.5. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are now trading at $53.51 a barrel. They're up 73 cents for the day. The heating oil or diesel fuel just about unchanged at $1.97 and a tenth. Gasoline on wholesale price, that's the RBOB, at $1.58 and 8 cents, is 3 and 8 tenths of a cent lower. And natural gas, 3 and 4 tenths of a cent lower at $2.77. Ethanol futures in Chicago at $1.45.5. A settlement price there up a penny and 3 tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 15 points higher at 17,997. Gold futures are down $19 at $1,208, and the dollar index at 94.13. That's down 0.144. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. A chance of flurries, partly sunny, a steady temperature of around 19 degrees, wind chill values between 5 and 10 above on a west-northwest wind at 11 to 15, that gust to 22, and then a night, and then tonight a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, a low of 6 degrees, wind chills between 9 below and 1 above, and Wednesday a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, and a high near 11 degrees. We'll have wind chill values during the day of 5 to 12 below on a northwest wind at 14 to 16 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 2 below. And Thursday, sunny and cold with a high near 8 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 1. Friday, cloudy and 22. Friday night, cloudy and 19. Saturday, a chance of snow and 34 degrees. Saturday night, another chance of snow, mostly cloudy and 18. By the time we get to Sunday, the start of the work week, and the start of the regular week, partly sunny and 26. Monday, mostly sunny and 21. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On the 17th day of February, we're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne, thanks for being with us. Tell me about the uptick, especially in the soybean market. What moved it higher?
Well, we started off with a good close on Friday and a little bit of a run-up. We continued that last night when the Malaysian palm oil didn't get a tariff put on it, and it was up 33 ringgits on Monday in the Monday trade overseas. That carried into the bean oil. It got us off a little stronger start on Monday night when we come back to trade. We saw a little rally first thing this morning, and it looked like it was over, and then we come surging again. We, of course, had the export shipments very good for the beans. That was good. The crush numbers come in right where they were expected. We didn't get any big pop out of those. Then later in the day, we saw bean meal take off, the bean meal up $10. Seen a lot of trade going on there and commercial buying in the beans. They've been buying beans Thursday, Friday, and today again that way. And we went through the 40-day and the 100-day moving averages, and here we sit.
Yeah, so here we sit. We see any follow-through, you think, this evening and in tomorrow's trade?
Well, you know, we have tripped through some of the points of resistance here. You know, as we look here and just the March beans, we closed today at 10:08.5, not settled there with the last trade, and, you know, 10:05 was the second resistance, so we go on up to about 10:15 before we see much resistance again there, and same with the corn. You know, as we look at it, it closed at 89, and basically we don't have resistance on the March corn until we get up to about 94.75 again, so we look like we'll probably try those numbers and see what they look like come tomorrow. The one thing we might see some traders back in from, you know, Carnival will be over after today, so will we see some traders come back in from South America, might be willing to sell into some of this rally.
Okay, so go back through the reasons again that the contracts and the bean pits jumped by so much, please.
Well, of course, you know, the meal was up $10 today.
Right.
We did see some good export numbers. We did go in, and the crush was right on what they were expecting, but that was, we did see, you know, there wasn't a lot of oil, and carry out is what they expected, so basically along the way. But the commercials have been buyers of beans the last 2 to 3 days, and we are seeing them come in and buy this market. There's still a good crush margin in the U.S., and there was a couple of comments made that they thought that the crush margin would at least stay positive in China for the rest of the time here. You know, quite a differentiation between the U.S. and South American FOB prices, but that didn't seem to come into effect today.
Mm-hmm. So is it just that the South American beans aren't being shipped out yet? And if that's the case, it's a little surprising that the November contract jumped 15 cents as well.
You know, I think that the Brazil's done a good job of loading out beans this year. It just seems like the farmer has been a very tight holder. A little concern about what the government might say Thursday on their report. Will they actually stick with the large acreage that they were talking about before for the WASD report that we'll see coming out of the Ag Forum on Thursday and Friday? And just a little bit of the farmer in Brazil and in the U.S. have been very sort of stubborn holders of beans. Whether they've been selling quite a few, they are quite a bit behind on what their actual sales were compared to a year ago. Farmers selling in the commercial hands as far as in South America, too, Todd.
Were you concerned at all that corn lagged behind this rally?
Well, you know, yes. I think that we, you know, when you see only 2.5 cents in corn and 18 cents in beans, it is a little bit concerning. But I think that, you know, as we look at it, the corn has kept moving. The commercial is not as hard pressed to buy the corn here now with the ethanol prices being a little tighter and things as far as that goes, but I think that, you know, we are going through. We did break up and close above the 40-day moving average in the corn today also. So, you know, positive technically going into this evening.
All right. And then expectations for the rest of the week. The Ag Forum, of course, is happening in Washington, D.C. I suppose all eyes will turn there.
That's exactly what's going to happen for the remainder of this week. We're going to look and see what numbers they throw at us to see if they are anything that's improved that might change our idea of a trading range from here on in, Todd, and that's going to be the big thing to look at. But we also have to remember the options go off the board on Friday for the March options, and there was a lot of options around $4 in the corn and $10 in the beans, and where are we sitting? Awful darn close.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And he joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, U.S. Labor Secretary Thomas Perez is meeting today in San Francisco with negotiators for both the Dock Workers Union and the Maritime Association in an effort to end a contract dispute and fully reopen West Coast seaports. The ports are a critical trade link with Asia and the gateway not just for imports such as electronics, household goods, and clothing, but also U.S. exports, including produce, grains, and meat. Over the weekend, companies locked out workers who would load or unload ships, saying they will not pay weekend or holiday wage premiums to crews they accuse of intentionally slowing work to gain bargaining leverage. The move broadened a partial lockout that began in January when the Maritime Association stopped calling night crews to load and unload ships. On Monday, massive ships continued lining up outside the ports, laden with imports now delayed by weeks. The last contract expired in July. The two sides have reached tentative agreements on many of the key issues, but are stuck on whether to change the process of arbitrating workplace disputes. Several other issues have been on the table, including pay. The Federal Aviation Administration has released long-anticipated proposed rules for operation of drones. The rules could eventually open an era in which small, that's under 55 pounds, commercial unmanned aircraft perform routine tasks, including crop monitoring, aerial photography, inspections of bridges and cell towers, and much more. And when they are in place, they may include a separate category with fewer restrictions for very small drones, likely to be defined as less than 4.4 pounds. The FAA released a variety of proposed requirements for commercial operators to meet, such as passing a knowledge test administered by the agency, as well as a federal security check. Small drones could travel no faster than 100 miles an hour at altitudes of less than 500 feet. Flights over people, except those involved in the drone's operation, would be prohibited. The House has sent a bill to the Senate under which the Section 179 deduction level would be permanently set at $500,000 for small businesses. Farmers are among the biggest users of the tax break, which helps smaller businesses immediately offset higher equipment costs on tax returns. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and he happens to put together the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's the 10th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. For just $25, you'll have the opportunity to meet, talk with, and hear from more than a dozen of our regular on-air analysts, including Greg Johnson, Aaron Curtis, Matt Bennett, Chuck Shelby, Murray Wise, Chris Hurt, Stewart, Sue Martin, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzlow, Bill Mayer, Dan Zwicker, Pete Manhart, Jackie Vakes, and Bill Gentry. That's right, they'll all be there for the all-day-ag outlook at the Beef House. Just $25 on the second Tuesday of the month of March. It's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Day in the month of March. Should be a fantastic day. Starts fairly early in the morning, Central Time, 7:40 a.m. for the registration. Our opening remarks are about 8:25 a.m. in the morning, Central, and we'll go to around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Fantastic day. You'll have a great one over at the Beef House. If you have not purchased your tickets, now might be the good time to do it at 217-333-7300, or just go online and you can buy there at willag.org. That's just willag.org. Either way, right now at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. Your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook are just $25. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, I've been on the road a whole lot this winter doing winter meetings for farmers, and from time to time when I'm out, I run into some really interesting things. That was the case when I found a series of 4-H'ers in Knox County in mid-February studying something called hippology. It takes more than a little courage and a lot of dedication to be on the hippology team in Galesburg, Illinois. On this particular dark night, with the wind chills deep into the negative numbers, the team is broken into two tables, and each is tackling equine questions.
Hey, Grant, what is the term for sterile male equine due to removal of the testicles?
They're learning horse basics, and some not-so-basics, too. Everything from breeds and colors to disease, parasite, body parts, feed rations, and related industries, says 4-H volunteer Rebecca Curry.
They learn about care, they learn about parts, and especially if kids are planning to go into any of the like feed or biology or sciences or even mathematics. A lot of the stuff they learn is a lot of the general stuff they'll even learn in a regular class in high school or junior high in biology.
By the way, 4-H is the nation's largest positive youth development and youth mentoring organization, empowering some 6 million young people in the United States, in partnership, of course, with 110 universities like the University of Illinois. 4-H life-changing programs are research-backed and available through 4-H clubs, camps, after-school and school enrichment programs in every county and parish in the United States.
Time is running out to get your tickets for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's set for March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Our analysts will discuss the day's news, a fresh WASDE report for corn, soybeans, and cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote, Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values, and Chris Hurt will take us through his livestock projections. Cost for the meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Hey, you know, there are a lot of soybeans in the world. Last fall, U.S. farmers harvested a record crop, and their counterparts in South America are doing the same right now. The South American soybean crop should be about 400 million bushels bigger than it was last year, some 6 billion bushels in total. More than a third of it should still be around, about 2.2 billion bushels, when U.S. farmers go to the field this fall. Add that number to what USDA expects will be left from the U.S. crop, and you get about 2.6 billion bushels before the combines roll in the United States. It's a big number and can't be good for price. But maybe it's not as bad as many think either, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
In spite of these large U.S. and world soybean supplies, prices have actually held up fairly well. During the first 5 months of the 2014 marketing year, farmers sold beans at an average price of about 10 and a quarter. However, prices have declined by 50 to 60 cents over the last month.
Going forward, the price of soybeans will be determined largely by the expected size of the 2015 U.S. soybean crop. The first milepost will be the number of acres planted. Well, USDA will release an estimate March 31st. This past year, U.S. farmers planted almost 7 million more acres of soybeans than they did in 2013.
Given the large increase in soybean acreage over the past 3 years, a more modest increase might be expected this year if crop prices remain near current levels. Planted acreage near 85.5 million seems like a reasonable expectation at this time.
Since the beginning of the Freedom to Farm era back in 1996, says Daryl Good, planting intentions reported in March have provided an unbiased forecast of actual plantings. Over the 19-year period, actual acreage exceeded intentions in 10 years and was less than intentions in 9 of them. On average, actual plantings exceeded intentions by just 98,000 acres. However, the difference, sometimes negative and some positive, exceeded 1 million acres in 9 years, 2 million acres in 4 years, and 3 million acres once. The June USDA acreage report will provide a clearer picture of soybean acreage. Good says if U.S. farmers plant 85.5 million acres of soybeans, and if the harvested acres yield 45 bushels to the acre, then the United States would harvest 3.8 billion bushels of soybeans. That would be 162 million bushels smaller than last year's crop, but probably lead to an overall supply of about 4.2 billion bushels, or 120 million bushels more than this marketing year.
Expectations for the 2015 soybean marketing year then point to lower prices than experienced this year. The expected price decline is moderated to some extent by the likelihood that stocks at the end of the current marketing year will be about 90 million bushels less than projected last fall. That 90 million bushels is equivalent to about 2 million acres.
Given all this, Daryl Good says prices are not expected to be as low as the CBO baseline projection of $8.19 or even the USDA baseline projection of $8.50. The futures market currently points to a marketing year average near $9.50 per bushel for new crop soybeans. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you can purchase your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on the 10th day of March. You can call right now if you'd like at 217-333-7300 to find those tickets. Again, online at willag.org or at 217-333-7300. While you're there on our website, by the way, check out the rest of our calendar. Next week, we're on the road again, this time in Belleville on a Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll be in Litchfield in the morning at 10 o'clock, and then in Casey on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Those are all great events. You can find out all the details at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you'll also find all of our daily agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture. Commodity Week recorded now at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoons, up on our website by about 6 o'clock Thursday evenings, and airs on our home radio station at about 2:36 on Friday afternoons. Many of the rest of these radio stations on Saturday morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in just about 2 minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather. He, of course, is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is with us from Day Weather to take a look at a really chilly forecast here in the Midwest and other parts of the nation. Can you tell me the kinds of temperatures we'll be having over the next couple of days and when we can expect to warm up?
Well, to answer your second question, when to expect to warm up, you're going to have to exercise some patience. While we are going to see temperatures moderate a little bit in about a week to 10 days, we're still going to be really struggling to get ourselves back into a temperature pattern anywhere close to normal as we head on into the last days of February and heading even into early March. The coldest temperatures that we're going to see are going to be coming here over the next 72 hours. Now, fortunately for where we're at, we're going to catch the western edge of the coldest air, but certainly temperatures down into the single digits. Some sub-zero temperatures are going to be possible, especially in the northern areas. The core of the coldest air will be centered over the Great Lakes, then into portions of western New England. We are going to be looking at possible record cold in those areas I just mentioned.
To what may we attribute this very cool weather?
Well, we have some of the same situation conditions, weather patterns we had last year that favored the funneling of a lot of cold air into the nation. A lot of that has to do with a big area of warmer than normal water temperatures off the west coast stretching up to the Gulf of Alaska, which helps cause that jet stream to make big dips from the west coast into the nation's midsection. Basically, it just leaves the door open to cold from the Arctic and from Siberia to come into the United States.
Let's move to warmer climes. Did I read that Rio de Janeiro is in the midst of a drought?
Well, yeah, and they have been in a drought situation for quite a while. Of course, some of that drought situation is a little bit of water management, but they have been drier, although the forecast for Rio and the forecast for many areas of South America, including really all of Brazil, the forecast for precip looks pretty good here in the short term.
Your feeling about the growing regions there and the conditions they'll be harvesting their soybean crop, some first crop in Argentina, and then planting conditions for second crop in Brazil.
There's going to be an area where I think they're maybe looking at the crop suffering a little bit from dryness. That would definitely be in Argentina with the better growing conditions in Brazil. In terms of harvest conditions right now, going forward, looking into their going into their harvest, I don't see too many problems at the moment.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, wishing you a very good afternoon. Find a way to stay warm and go check out our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.